flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast. It's 8 o'clock. It is Tuesday. It's time to get petty. 713-572-4610. We do this every Tuesday. Gotten texts from a few people lately saying that they really have enjoyed the evolution of the Pettycast on Tuesdays. Now, as you pointed out, we stay petty on this show pretty much all the time.
But this is specifically devoted to it.
Yeah.
This is like our recital, our pettiness recital.
Well, it's also a segment where we allow other people's pettiness to seep into it. So some of it's ours, yeah. And some of it is other people's. It's just
we are petty. We are at our best when we are at our worst as human beings.
You and I.
And, yeah.
Ironically, you and I are going to be the best in the world by being the worst versions of ourselves.
Exactly.
That's straight irony.
It's a pretty proven strategy in many realms of life.
That is true. It is true. All right, so let's get to it here. This is going to be me for sure getting petty, and I'm guessing Seth was probably not really really in line with this next person we're going to hear with his encouragement after the game. Am I accurate about this, Seth?
Yes. Yeah, this is petty on multiple different... We can be petty about this on multiple different levels because Nate Burleson is speaking down to people on multiple different levels.
Thank you. Yeah, here's Nate Burleson of the CBS studio show following the Chiefs' win over the Bills in the AFC title game.
To the fan bases out there, if you're not a Chiefs fan, that's okay. But resist the urge to fall for the narrative that we're tired of seeing them win, that we might be fatigued of watching KC go to the Super Bowl over and over again. You are witnessing greatness, and just be happy that you are alive to be there to see it.
Yeah, I get angrier listening to that every time. It's not a narrative. Yeah. It's how people feel.
That's exactly what angered me about it. Yeah. Wait, resist the urge to succumb to the narrative? If you're looking at the narrative, the sports media types are nothing but gushing about how incredible the Chiefs are and what have you. The narrative would be that you're talking to people like they are simpletons who can't make decisions for themselves. At least 40% of us can.
Yeah.
And there's no narrative that you should be tired of. Like, he's putting out the narrative in trying to tell you not to listen to a narrative, he's presenting you a narrative that he's trying to shame you into believing.
Right.
Oh, I should just be happy that I'm witnessing this.
Right.
I'm going to cast aside all of my competitive feelings about wanting my team to be better than everybody else. And I'm supposed to feel like just awed and grateful that I get to watch Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs.
Yeah.
What the hell are you talking about? This is such, and I've seen this all over from sports media types who obviously have zero clue or understanding how human beings actually operate.
Yep.
Oh, you shouldn't feel the way human beings feel. It's more important that you go, I want you to go home and write in your journal 200 words on how lucky you are to be witnessing the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, yeah. No, Burleson's infuriating with this
stuff. He needs to get fired from that job in the morning show, too.
Insufferable.
That's bad for America. Well, bad for America.
He also hosts Hollywood Squares, and it kind of sucks. It's down the list of game
shows. I saw commercials for that. Yeah, I didn't even realize that was a thing again.
Yeah,
it looks like a lot of former sports stars.
You mean like in the squares, in the tic-tac-toe?
Yeah.
It's a mix of
everything. I
guess
those would be the ones they're showing during a football game. So those commercials, they chose those ones.
But Burleson's the host of it. So
he's got a lot of jobs. I respect him for that, but that's maybe why he's spread too thin and he has a horrible take like that.
Well, that's the thing. That's what I want. I don't want to minimize like what he's done as someone who is just a very average wide receiver and nondescript wide receiver in the NFL. He's created quite the media empire for himself. Mm-hmm. Game show, morning TV, just outside of sports, and then
spreading himself too thin.
Yes,
lost touch with the NFL fan.
Lost touch with human beings
because he's speaking to a broad cross section of America on the morning coffee show there, and then he's speaking to the game show viewers on the other one, and he's forgotten how fans actually fan.
Yep. Apparently, Brittany Mahomes is feeling pretty petty about the Buffalo Bills fans. Earlier this season, Brittany Mahomes, wife of Patrick, Bills fans went viral when they hung a Patrick Mahomes doll before a regular season game. Well, the doll was actually a Kermit the Frog puppet with a Chiefs jersey on it.
Yeah.
And they hung it before the game in effigy, I guess. I don't know. Like, Brittany Mahomes was not happy that this puppet of Kermit the Frog with her husband's jersey wearing it got hanged on social media and at the Bills Chiefs game. They played in Buffalo earlier this year. Following the win by the Chiefs over the Bills on Sunday, Brittany Mahomes brought up the old stunt by Buffalo's fan base, saying that she will pray for Bills fans, hoping they become better people.
Oh, I get petty about people using praying for them as their version of pettiness.
Mm-hmm.
Sacrilegious, really.
It is.
I hope she burns in hell. That's where I go with that. Yeah, because you are sacrilegious on social media. Nobody ever does that. It's a bad example to set. So, stop with the sacrilege, Brittany Mahomes.
Do we remember this, Buffalo, she said. Absolutely disgusting. So as you go home tonight, I pray we become better people.
Trying to take the morally superior stance there. Okay.
Now, Mahomes was, I'll give Mahomes credit. Well, it's the petty cast, so I don't want to give too much credit. Mahomes put up a gif of Kermit just sipping tea after the game.
I'll be petty for you calling it a gif, but other than that, stop it with that nonsense.
Is it? Okay.
I feel like he's done that before.
Yeah, yeah. Is it a GIF or a GIF? I've heard both.
It's a graphic interface something or other.
But
so
yet
it's
I've
GIF.
Heard people pronounce it GIF. It's weird, yeah. So Brittany Mahomes.
I've heard people pronounce all kinds of things wrong, Sean.
Yeah. Okay.
Hang you in effigy.
Okay. What puppet would Sean be if you hung him in effigy?
I saw Jackson Mahomes was talking some smack, too, on social media.
There's a
said
shock.
Something about, like, Super Bowl hates to see us coming. And, all right, it is in New Orleans, Jackson. I'll just be careful. Odds are you end up in a human trafficking ring by the end of this week. So just head on a swivel, Jackson. Head on a swivel.
Brittany Mahomes in hell and Jackson Mahomes in a trafficking ring. This is a petty cast, people. This is a petty cast. All right, we played this one yesterday. As long as we're sticking with the Chiefs here. DeAndre Hopkins is a Kansas City Chief. DeAndre Hopkins does not forget how he left Houston back in 2020.
You know, man, I've been doubted. A lot of people wrote me off, 12 years in the league, man. You know, I got traded for some pennies in my prom. So, I just want to thank the organizations that gave me a shot. You know, I knew I could still go out here, make plays when I need to, draw double teams, and, play meaningful football.
All right, so that's Hopkins.
Am I supposed to be petty towards DeAndre Hopkins?
No. Hopkins is still petty towards the Texans is the purpose.
Oh, good.
Of that.
Yeah, we can endorse that pettiness. Yeah. Menihue, too. Menihue looks so petty towards the Texans. It's like he's sacking Jack Easterby himself when he sacks C.J. Stroud.
So Hopkins said in that cut, I was traded for pennies in my prime, I think he said. They're pennies in my prime. Which this always allows us, Seth, to repurpose the memo that was sent out when Hopkins got traded, which had Jack Easterby's smudgy fingerprints all over this thing, where He licked his finger, stuck his finger out the window, and took the temperature of the city and was like, oh, boy, the wind is blowing awfully hard in the direction against me and Bill O'Brien. Let's put out a memo and explain ourselves.
So the memo, for those of you, we're not going to read all these bullet points. Yeah. There were 58 bullet points, basically making like points about how awesome the team was going to be over the next year. Yeah. But the one specifically addressing the Hopkins pick were the most insulting things I'd ever been fed by a person, an entity, a football team, whatever it might be, because they wanted you to believe. They wanted basically to be a complete moron to believe any of these or to look at them as valid points.
The two, I would say, the two most insulting concepts in this memo, yeah. We'll just hit those. The one is where they talk about the pick they got, a second round pick, 40th overall, is the area of the draft where you still get first round talent, air quotes, but the contract is less money and will bring a very talented, young, and cheap player to Houston for the next 4 years. They drafted Ross Blacklock with that pick.
Right, right.
They drafted Ross Blacklock, who I think was here for 2 years, maybe?
Yeah. And by the logic of it, it would suggest that you should always trade all of your first-round picks
out of the
back
first
into
round.
The second round
yes.
because it's less money.
Right.
It was asking people to be idiots.
Right.
To be like, oh, wait, yeah, you know what? Boy, and then if you trade all those second-round picks for third-round picks, that's even more money you've got.
Right, right.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it as I was reading it. I honestly thought I was going crazy.
Yeah.
I did not understand how they were putting this logic on paper.
The second worst part of this was talking about this fourth round pick in 2021 that they got from Arizona as part of the deal, as an important part of the deal that nobody talks about. They say
nobody
that.
Talks about it.
Should be a much better draft pick than the fourth round pick that we gave up in the deal for the 2020 draft, because Arizona is in a tough division.
The logic behind that also being because we're the Texans and we're super good, y'all. And how did that end up working out?
They were 4-12 that year. The Texans were.
How was Arizona though?
They were better than 4-12.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
So it was not likely a better pick. The other big part of it was too that they made the point that it's the deepest wide receiver class in years. So that second round pick is probably even more valuable. After trading away to, DeAndre Hopkins, they drafted a defensive lineman, just to recap, who was on the team for 2 years. Yes.
And traded their other second-round pick for Brandon Cooks, who was not cheap at all.
Despite the fact that there's so many good wide receivers in the draft.
Right, right. Dude, you put it back.
I was so insulted, and I remain insulted by that. The whole thing about that, going through that letter again and going through all those bullet points – it's like they had a brainstorming session and then walked away and published it. They're like, you know, in brainstorming where you just throw anything out there, some of it's going to be stupid, but you just get your mind flowing.
Yep.
That's how that organization operated. They operated like their brainstorm notes were the final draft of everything they did.
Yep.
They were like, oh, how about we do this? How about we do that? Sounds good to me.
Sounds
Let's
good.
Go.
Put it on letterhead. Take all that and put it cut and paste. Put it on letterhead. Let's go. Boy, I do not miss Jack and Bill. Dallas
David Johnson will be our starting running back and a key part of the offense. He's a tough, smart, dependable player.
Seth's not making that up.
And we need a running back after letting Carlos Hyde leave.
Yep. Seth's not making that up. That was in the memo. That 100%.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Dallas Cowboys, we're doing the Pettycast here on a Tuesday. I'm going to give the Cowboys their credit. As janky an organization as they are, as embarrassing as the press conference yesterday was introducing Brian Schottenheimer in spots, they somehow still managed to rent space in the head of Eagle and Commander fans on the actual day of the NFC title game. This was the park. This is the one thing Commander and Eagle fans could agree upon in the parking lot before the game.
Dallas sucks! Dallas sucks!
They all agree that Dallas sucks. You're about to play in the NFC title game. Like, why are you worrying about the Cowboys?
I kind of get it because it was an intradivisional playoff game.
Yeah.
And you're also there kind of claiming your primacy as not just in the regular season, but also as the best team in the division.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Giants fans might have been. If anything, that was a shot at Giants fans because they wouldn't even be included in the insult.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
Not even, like, you're not
Petty,
even.
They're petty.
Yeah, we're not even going to include you in this.
Yeah. Congrats, Joe Shane and Brian
Dable. So
this is
appreciation for the pettiness of the for me.
Yeah.
I look at that as appreciation of the pettiness of the Eagles
fans. Yeah, for sure. Julian Edelman and Rob Gronkowski were on a podcast together, and they recounted how much Tom Brady hated. This is back in 2012, mind you.
When social media was just taking the world by storm.
It was kind of burgeoning at that point, but not all the stars were on it, including Brady, who was several years away from even, at least publicly, having an account that he was on. But back in 2012, Tom Brady, not a fan of Chad Ochocinco.
He was like the first guy with a million followers on Twitter in the NFL, I think.
He was.
Remember that?
I do remember that. And Tom absolutely hated him at first. Well, didn't hate him, but hated that he was on Twitter because he was Mr. Twitter. He had like 3 million followers. The second highest person was like 200,000 in the NFL. And this is in 2012. He got traded to the New England Patriots, and he's always on Twitter still. And Tom and Coach Belichick were just always grilling him like, oh, get off freaking Twitter. It doesn't help you. And never really affected his game. Back then, they just acted like it did.
Yeah. He just did things differently in New England.
Exactly. He didn't comply to it.
Chad did what Chad did.
The point is, where I'm getting to is now Tom is Mr. Instagram and Mr. Twitter now. So that was the point I was getting to.
Right. I honestly, Seth, 90% of why I pulled that clip is Gronk laughing at the end of it.
I think partly too. Are we really certain that Brady wasn't just jealous of Ochocinco's?
Oh, his million followers, maybe.
Yeah, social media followers.
Yeah.
Maybe there was a little bit of that.
Could have been.
Hey, we're a team here. We're not individuals except for Glory Boy Tom Brady.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Brady, what a buzzkill. What a killjoy he was back then.
It reminded me when we were talking to Jonathan Joseph and Arian Foster in the pregame show a couple weeks ago before the playoff game.
Yep.
And they made the point that they always knew that DeMeco was going to be a coach because even when he would walk into a group of players who might be cutting it up, everybody kind of got more subdued all of a sudden.
Yeah.
It was almost like a coach had walked in the room.
Yes.
That's probably how Tom Brady was around the locker room. They all loved him. They all knew he was their meal ticket and everything. But you got to filter what you're saying about old Bill Belichick when Tommy comes around.
Be quiet, guys. Yeah. Quiet down. Text message. The words tough, smart, and dependable trigger me.
I know. I saw it when I saw that was up on the wall of the Giants offices during Hard Knocks. I was like, oh, they're doomed. Nope. You're still trying because that originated with the Patriots too, and Brian Daboll had coached with the Patriots. They're trying too hard to be like New England. Not gonna work.
Someone's saying, why does it matter to Hopkins what he was traded for? Because I think players view it, if you get traded for pennies, as he would say, is a sign of disrespect. Like, they dumped me, you know? Like,
right, it was an insult.
Yeah.
They just would get away. They wanted to get away from me. First and foremost, they wanted to get away from me more than anything else.
Yeah.
And that was a little bit how Bill O'Brien operated as a general manager. You could tell that he would get to a certain point in negotiations where he probably just said, like, I just want to be done with this. I don't want this guy in the room anymore.
100%.
Like with Clowney.
Yeah.
Clowney totally felt like when you found out that the Texans were paying part of Clowney's salary, I feel like, who knows how it actually went. It just felt like the Seahawks at a certain point were like, hey, by the way, Bill, you really need the rust guard, and you also need to pay part of his salary. And this warranty, you're going to want the 10-year warranty. They did, it was every add-on that they were trying to get to somebody who was just desperate to get a deal done.
Times are better now. It's nice having capable people. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. That's our Tuesday Pettycast right there. Hey, probably the most exciting regular season game of the Ime Udoka era was last night for the Rockets. We'll relive the magic of Amen Thompson coming up next.